So a lot of people have been asking me to give shiur about Brichas Hachama. So there's a little bit of a problem when you give a shiur about Brichas Hachama. Can you hear me on the back? Can you hear? It's alright, can you hear? A little bit of a problem about the shiur about Brichas Hachama. There's very, very little to say. There are a lot of books written, but there's very, very little to say. Because there's one line in the Gemara, and there's one half a line in the Shulchan Aruch, and a couple lines in Mishnah Berurah, and that's the whole thing. So you would think there's like a whole Masech that will be Brichas Hachama. There's very, very little to talk about. So you can talk about one of two things. Either you can talk about all the astronomy, so we're not going to talk about that for two reasons. Number one, no one's interested in that. Number two, I don't understand any of it, so we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the second half. That's all the halachas. So what exactly are we doing? Assuming we have this Brichas Hachama in place, so what exactly are we supposed to be aware of? So we'll give a little bit of the astronomy background also, just to give a little bit of a flavor to what's going on. So the sukkah begins in Maseches Brachos, at the end of the ninth parak, where the Gemara lists off a whole series of different brachas that are recited for different occasions. And the Braisa says, Tana Rabbana, that if a person sees the Chama bit Kufa, so you see the Chama at its specific time, Kufa, whatever that means, so you recite a bracha, Baruch Osem Ayseh Bereishis. In fact, there are two Gersos in the Gemara. There's one Gersos in the Gemara, it's Baruch Osem Bereishis, and the other is Baruch Osem Ayseh Bereishis. And Nusach is Baruch Osem Ayseh Bereishis. Good. So the Gemara asks the question, my bit kufasa. What is that vague term of the Braisa mean when you see the Chama bit kufasa? So Abayi says it refers to as follows, that there is an astronomical cycle that takes every 28 years, which basically means that the sun every 28 years comes back to the same point in terms of Tkufas Nisa. The year, the solar year, is divided into four different seasons, as we all know. So the spring equinox, at least according to one calculation, it's not exactly the 100% correct calculation, but the Gemara knew that because the Gemara quotes Machlokes about the calculations. But at least according to one presentation of its calculations, it comes out that the spring equinox falls out on a Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. once every 28 years. So why is Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. important? Because Tuesday evening is the beginning of Yom Ravi, and 6 p.m. is on a perfect 6-to-6 day, is the beginning of the evening. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yihima Oros Berkiyah Shemayim, when the first creation of the sun corresponded to the beginning of Yom Ravi'i, which is 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. on Tuesday evening. So the sun reaches that point where it theoretically was, according to this calculation, at the time of Bria Sa'olah. That's the Cheshbon of Abayi. So Abayi says, every 28 years, that's what happens. And therefore, you recite a bracha to commemorate that event, the Baruch Osem Ayseh Bereishis. When do you recite the bracha? Obviously not at night, because you can't see the sun at night. So obviously what the Gemara means is, when that sun reaches that point in the night, so then the first time you see the sun after that point, you recite the bracha, Baruch Osem Ayseh Bereishis. That's all it says in the Gemara. So there is a Rishalmi that has a different understanding of the Braisa. The Braisa is from the Tanoi, but Abayi was an Amor and Babel. So Abayi is giving his pshat in the Braisa. So the Rishalmi has another pshat in the Braisa. The Rishalmi says, the Ruach Hamid Kufasa doesn't mean once every 28 years. Rather, it means if you see the sun and you haven't seen the sun in a little while, so then you recite a bracha of Baruch Osem Ayseh Bereishis. What do you mean you haven't seen the sun in a little while? It's been cloudy, it's been raining for a long time, so the sun disappeared for so long. Now, Baruch Hashem, the sun comes back to life again, so you recite a bracha, a nice, sunny, beautiful day, you say, Baruch Hashem, Ayseh Bereishis. How many days of rain, how many days of clouds does it have to be? So there are two Gersos within this pshat of Yerushalmi. So there's one Gerso that says 3 days. If you don't see the sun for 3 days, so then it's cloudy for 3 days, then you have to make a Baruch Ayseh Bereishis. Can you imagine every 3 days we'd have a Brichas Hachama? It wouldn't be giving shiur about it. Wouldn't it be so boring? It'd be like every Shem v'chamishi, Kriyas HaTorah, you have Brichas Hachama, every couple of days of rain. So then there's another version in Rishalmi that other Rishalmi quote, not every 3 days, but rather every 30 days. And it's mamish cloudy for 30 days straight. No bed, it was for England. Right? When was the last time the sun shone in England? 1863, when? It doesn't sound too much, right? What? Every 20 years, approximately, you get a sunny day in England, right? I remember one summer I went to England for a week, and it was a beautiful week, the whole week. And I never understood why people mutzi laws in England. Then somebody told me that it was the first time in 20 years that it actually was sunny for a week. So according to this version, if it's cloudy and raining for 30 days straight, and then the sun comes out, wow, that's a Zah Baruch Hashem Ayseh Bereishis. How do we understand these two opinions in the Rishalmi that don't accept the Baalvi's interpretation? So the shear of 30 days makes a lot of sense. That's the shear we have in other things. That person sees the Yama Gadol, hasn't seen the Yama Gadol in 30 days, so you recite a bracha. The person hasn't seen a midbar in 30 days, recites a bracha. Hasn't seen a fancy mountain in 30 days. So that shear of 30 days, we're familiar with. Where did 3 days come from? Talk about the shear. So the Chavarim explained the shear must have come from Brias Olam, because just as in Brias Olam, Sunday, Yom Echad, there was no sun. Yom Sheni, there was no sun. Yom Shlishi, there was no sun. Oh, the Rosh Hashanah created the sun. Yom Revi, the sun came out. So whenever you have such a thing that parallels Maaseh Bereishis, for 3 days there's no sun, and then boom, on the fourth day the sun shines, so you recite a bracha, bracha, also Maaseh Bereishis. So again, those are the Rishalmi's versions of what that braisa means, Aracham b'tkufasa. But the Babli doesn't say that. The Babli says there's nothing to do with the cloudy day, nothing to do with the rainy day, nothing to do with 3 days, nothing to do with 30 days. It's a set astronomical event called Birchas HaChama, once every 28 years, that's the Farish of the Gemara. How do we pass the Mahalofa? So we usually follow Bavli, the Risham, we usually follow the Bavli. So that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam quotes this din, Lahalofa, that you have to recite Birchas HaChama once every 28 years, and the Shukhrach, at the end of Chalavei Mishnabura, and it was Brachas. So the Shukhrach quotes the Rambam, quotes the most of the Rishonim, who quote this Bavli, that we don't accept the Rishami's job, we follow the Bavli's interpretation of the Braisa. The Chassam Sofer writes that there were some earlier generations that didn't recite Birchas HaChama, so it could be that they passed against this Bavli. Maybe they held the halacha against Rishami. Maybe they held for some other reason the Bavli should like halacha. So it's not that every single Pesach in the last 2,000 years has been reciting Birchas HaChama, but the overwhelming majority of the Gedolei HaPoskim have accepted this Braisa and accepted this interpretation of the Braisa, and that's the way we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Well, halacha l'maisa, for the days of Shulchan Aruch onwards, that's basically how we are knowing. We assume that there is such a din called Birchas HaChama. So assuming that such a din exists, so now we have to just get a little bit of a background, some of the common shailas that come up in terms of a Birchas HaChama. So the first question is the timing of this bracha. When exactly does one recite the bracha? As we mentioned before, even though the astronomical event really happens the night before, you can't recite the bracha at night, you have to recite the bracha the next day. So the Gemara never says when during the next day to recite the bracha, and the next day is like an Erev Pesach. It's just every once in a while, it's by quirk, just a fluke that it's an Erev Pesach. Contrary to popular opinion, it's not the third time in the history of the world that it's happened in Erev Pesach. It's happened many, many more times since that. Last time, if I'm not mistaken, was 1925, and nothing too exciting happened then. I was saying a shiur on Shabbos, so I said over 1925, the most exciting thing that happened was the Yankees won the World Series. So one guy raised his hand and said, it's not true, they didn't win in 1925, they won in 1926. Sorry, the lack of bitias. So the... But it's happened a few times since Bris Olam, so it's nothing to get too excited about. I mean, it's a nice thing, maybe something will exciting happen, but, you know, maybe not. So when exactly on the day of quote unquote Birchas HaChama the bracha is supposed to be recited? So the Rambam says baboker. The Rambam says when you see the sun in the morning, that's when you recite the bracha. So the question: what did the Rambam mean with that term baboker? Did he mean halakhic boker? He meant mamish boker. What does boker mean? So the Magen Avraham says what the Rambam meant is you have to recite the bracha in the first 3 hours of the day. After the first 3 hours of the day, that's already late morning. That's already not boker, but boker. That's not already the early morning. That's already after the Krishma, that's too late already. You can't recite Birchas HaChama anymore, according to the Magen Avraham. If you would have asked me, I would have said maybe the shiur is 4 hours into the day, because that's the same amount of Tefillah Shacharis. And Tefillah Shacharis has to be davened by boker, because the Korban Tumah has to be brought by boker. So I would have put two and two together. I would have said the same amount of Birchas HaChama is 4 hours. The Magen Avraham doesn't say that. The Magen Avraham says 3 hours. So the Nedi Behuda, in his notes on the side of the Magen Avraham, the Dagam Avava, comments on this Magen Avraham and says he's not sure that it's right. He says the whole Magen Avraham is hinging on the Lashon Rambam Baboker. So says the Nedi Behuda, he's not sure the Rambam meant anything with that phrase, Baboker. He meant Dafka, Lashon Baboker, Mehechat Eisei. The stuff of the Rambam meant is the reason why given the mitzvahs. You wake up in the morning, you see the sun, so sure, so you recite the Birchas HaChama, like Mehechat Eisei, that you should wake. The Rambam meant, but let's say it's cloudy in the morning, and the sun comes shining out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you can't say Birchas HaChama anymore. So maybe the Mehechat Eisei, like where does it say in the Gemara that that's the Shia, that's the Midafter Baboker. So the Yudah then says, even the Niach that the Lashon Rambam is Dafter, the Rambam didn't mean to allude to this idea that you have to recite Birchas HaChama in the morning, says the Nedi Behuda, what's the end of the morning? The Stamach HaTzais is the end of the morning. Because that already, we also know from Hilchos Tefillah, the halacha is that a person has to daven Shacharis before Dalet Shalos. That's how we pass through like Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to daven Shacharis before 4 hours. But b'di'evet, if you didn't daven Shacharis until Chatzos, so b'di'evet you can still daven Shacharis. There's a Machlekes HaPoskim, that halacha that you're allowed to daven Shacharis until Chatzos, from Dalet Shalos until Chatzos, is that the Torah's Tashlumin? Or is that the Torah's, it's still called Bokir technically, b'di'evet it's still called Bokir. So the Pashas Advarim is that we pass in that it's not the Torah's Tashlumin. How do you know that? Because the Shulchan Aruch says that let's say a person b'mezid didn't daven Shacharis till 11:30. So if it would be b'toras tashlumin, the Gemara says it's only tashlumin for a tefillah that you missed b'shogeg. Say, a guy missed the Shacharis by mistake, so we can daven mincha twice. A guy forgot daven mincha, he can daven ma'ariv twice. If a guy b'meizid didn't daven shacharis, he cannot daven mincha twice. Guy b'meizid didn't daven mincha, he cannot daven ma'ariv twice. So tashlumin is only b'shoigeg daven meizid. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Zeruchos Tefillah that you're allowed to daven shacharis b'di'evan until chatzos, even if you missed the zman b'meizid. The guy was up at 8 o'clock in the morning. He was b'meizid. He didn't daven on time. He was busy. He's going to class. He's doing this. And now it's 11:30. He decides to daven shacharis. The Shulchan Aruch says you can still daven shacharis. So you see that the Shulchan Aruch paskens that it's still called Boker. The Parsha says it's still called Tfilos HaShachar. It's L'chatchila by Dalet Shals, but B'di'evan Tuch Chatzos. So that's what the Megillah writes, that even if you're going to tell me that Boker means literally Boker, the Hecha Teis that it has to be before 3 hours. The Hecha Teis has to be before 4 hours, and Tuch Chatzos is perfectly okay. That's what the Megillah writes. So again, we have four different possibilities. One is the Sod Zman Brech Zakaba. Either you say like the Pashas and Dvarim is, there is no Sod Zman. The whole day of whatever day of Nisan it is, whatever day the Kufa falls out on, so the whole day is okay for Brech Zakaba. That's what I would have said. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Then you have the most extreme sheet, there's the Magen Avraham's Pshat with Das HaRambam. It has to be within the first 3 hours. Then you have the Magen Avraham's, I'm sorry, the Nebi Huda's version with Das HaRambam. It has to be until Chatzos. And then you have a phantom shot that maybe 4 hours. That was our suggestion. We can pin anybody down who said it. We'll make it up. Hashita, we'll call it 4 hours. It makes sense, but Levi's on the page of Shulchan Aruch, nobody says it. So then Rabbi Yehuda writes that not only is he disagreeing theoretically with the Magen Avraham, but he actually disagreed Lamaisa with the Magen Avraham. And Rabbi Yehuda writes that one year when it was Birz HaChama, it was like a cloudy, and we'll talk about in a minute what do you do about Birz HaChama in the clouds itself. So it was 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:30 in the morning, it was already after Gimel Shoals, after 4 Shoals, after 5 Shoals, and it was still cloudy. And then all of a sudden, the moment right before Chatzos, the sun broke through the clouds. So the Nevi Yehuda writes about himself, Maisa Shoaya Kachoya, the Kilos Prague, Uberachti Birchsechama, Kama Dakos before Chatzos. A few minutes before Chatzos, he recited Birchsechama against disagreeing with the Magen Avraham. He thought that the Ikra did is that either the whole day is good or at least Chatzos, that's perfectly okay. So the Mishneh Berurah quotes this machlekes to Magen Avraham and the Nevi Yehuda, so it leaves it hanging. The Mishneh Berurah says that Magen Avraham says you should do it before 3 hours, and then the Nevi Yehuda says you can do it until Chatzos, and he's not really machriya in the Shail. And the Achmarim Sarim and the Nevi Yehuda, the whole thing is based on the Rambam, which we're not really sure where the Rambam got it from, and not even sure where the Rambam even meant Boker is Dafka. And even if he meant Boker is Dafka, then he's probably right that it's still called Boker, just as it's called Boker for other purposes in Halacha. Until Chatzel, so too it's called Boker until for Birch Zecham as well. I was having an argument with somebody this weekend about eating through the Shabbos before Chatzel. This time of year, so you have to really be a Peshay to miss it. Chatzel is almost 1 o'clock, so you got to really drain Shul long enough to miss this man. In the winter time, so it's 11:40, so it's, you know, gotta rush things up. So the kids, we had a Kiddush in Shul, so and then Dre's, and then kids, it was 12:50 something, and we still hadn't made Hamotzi yet, so I told everyone, let's get moving. So somebody said to me, no, Chatzos, is it really true? What's the Mokra? Doesn't say it. I said, you know what the Mokra is? The Rambam. The Rambam Hukhah Shabbos says Boker. You have to have the Suda's Boker. I said, Birch Zechama, once every 28 years, everyone drives you crazy because it says Boker in the Rambam. I said, it says the same Rambam, the same word Boker in Hukhah Shabbos. I said, and some, everyone forgot that Rambam. So, because every Shabbat Boker, Boker, should be Machpid on this also. So those extra 5 minutes cost us Chatzos, playing over that shit, okay. I got it. So we mentioned that the Yehuda was assuming that you cannot recite the bracha when it's cloudy. That's why you had this whole talaram, this whole crisis with the chama in the clouds. So is that really true? What's the din if it's cloudy outside? Ramesh don't see the chama. Can you recite the bracha? So here we find the Hilchos brachas. We find certain brachas were instituted by Chazal as brachas ariyah. Means when you see a specific thing, you experience a specific event, then and only then do you recite a bracha. And other brachas are instituted on Darka Shalom, not because you personally are experiencing an event, but because certain phenomena happening in the world that warrants a bracha. So let's say a guy has a gavaldic idea. He picks up an apple. He has no interest in eating an apple. As a beautiful apple. Now the Rebbe Shalom created this apple. He was the Bari creates. So the guy gets up and he says, Baruch Hashem, Bari creates. Lamais, he didn't say sheker. He didn't say anything. It's not true. The Rav Shalom, yes, is the Melech Olam. Yes, he's the Baruch creates. So he needs the apple. So that's called the bracha of Atal. According to Rav, that's the Nisim Yerais. According to Tosaf, that's the Nisim, and that's called the bracha of Atal. So right, I'm even telling you, right, you know, I'll do that. But there are other brachos where a person can recite a bracha even though he doesn't necessarily experience that event. Let's say Rav Shalom, brachas Hashachar. So the Gemara says in the end of Masechet Brachos that when a person hears the kakadoodle do with the rooster, so he says, Nelson Masechet Vino, how can you know Maila? Person puts on his belt, he says, oh, he's a Gevura. Person puts on his hat, he says, oh, he's a Sephara. A person puts on his shoes, each bracha corresponds to a specific event the person does. So the Rambam writes in the Brachos, there's a terrible thing that he heard, that there are some Jewish communities that have a terrible practice. Says the Rambam, a guy gets up to daven for the Amud, and he rattles off one bracha after another. Can you believe such a thing, says the Rambam? But such a person does, you guys probably never heard of that. That's before Ms. Moshiach. That's no, correct. That's before Yishtava. Ms. Moshiach is usually before Bar Shabbat. So, those are the Ms. Expired. Hey. So the Rambam says it's a terrible thing. It's 15 brachas levatala. Why? Because the Rambam says the Gemara Kipshuta Masechet Brachos that you only recite these brachas when the event occurs. So if a person washes his face, he recites the bracha. A person puts on his shoes, he recites the bracha. A person hears the rooster, makes the bracha. He didn't hear the rooster, doesn't make the bracha. He's not wearing shoes, doesn't make the bracha. He didn't wash his face, doesn't make the bracha. He didn't put on a belt, doesn't make the bracha. According to the Rambam, each bracha corresponds to the event itself. It's tantamount to making a bar praise without eating an apple. So other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and that's what the Amin is, that we assume now these brachas were instituted on Dar Kishal Olam. That even though you personally didn't experience these events, I never heard the rooster cock-a-doodle-doo, heard some donkeys in Beit Meir's Pesach, I never heard a rooster, so you can still recite the bracha, that's good enough. Somewhere in Kansas, the hearing of roosters crowing, that's good enough. So you have a lot of brachas that instituted dafka on a specific event, and then you have other brachas that are instituted more in Darka Shalala. And you have a few brachas which are unclear. Let's say, the bracha of Hamapil. So is the bracha of Hamapil instituted on the personal act of going to sleep, or is the bracha of Hamapil instituted because of the wonderful institution of sleep in this world? So that's the machlokes. It's a poskim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a chumrah, you're not allowed to talk after Hamapil. Between Hamapil and going to sleep, you're not supposed to talk. Why not? Why can't you talk between Hamapil and going to sleep? So the Mishnah Berurah seemed to understand that Hamapil is a bracha on sleep proper. It has to be a tziruf between the bracha of Hamapil and sleep. Like a person making a berber eitz and then talking before eating the apple. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's no good. You can't say Hamapil and then talk because that's a hefsek. That's creating a hefsek between the bracha of Hamapil is on the act of sleeping itself. So others weren't convinced that that's true. Others said, who says that the bracha of Hamapil is on your personal going to sleep? The bracha of Hamapil is on sleep. It's on the bracha of sleep. So it's a zman of sheni. You're in pajamas. You're going to bed. So you can say Hamapil. You're not going to fall asleep for another 20 minutes. That's not a hefsek. It's not a problem. You talk. It's not a problem. So that's a shaila, what the din is, whether a person is permitted to speak after Hamapil or not. So there's one day in the Rishonim that says that how come we don't find in the Gemara that Chazal instituted a bracha of Leisha B'Sukkah before sleeping in the Sukkah. So a guy goes into a Sukkah, not to eat. He goes into the Sukkah to go to sleep. He doesn't recite Leisha B'Sukkah. How come? So the Tam says that the Chazal only instituted the bracha of Leisha B'Sukkah on Achila. Achila is the ikar part of the mitzvah. Everything else is tuffled to the achila. So when you make the bracha leishiv on the achila, that passes everything. So other Rishonim give a different answer. Other Rishonim say no. The Chacham could not possibly have instituted the bracha of leishiv besukh on sleeping because it's not biyachar to fall asleep. Nobody knows whether you're going to fall asleep or not. You can be very tired and you're going to have insomnia. So you don't know whether you're going to fall asleep. So leishiv besukh on a piece of bread, I'm holding a piece of bread in my hand. So I make leishiv besukh underneath the bread. But leishiv besukh and go to sleep, I may not fall asleep. So it's inconceivable that Chazal would have required a bracha on going to sleep. It's not shaykh to make such a bracha because it will end up to be a bracha levatol if you don't fall asleep. So according to those Rishonim, they must by definition disagree with the Mishnah Berurah. According to those Rishonim, either Gemara says in brachas when you get into bed to go to sleep, you say Hamapil. According to those Rishonim, how could Chazal ever have instituted Hamapil on going to sleep? It's not shaykh to have such a bracha because that would be a bracha levatol. It must be, according to those who show them, that the bracha of Hamapil is a brichas hashevach. It's like brichas hashachar, the same way that you don't have to hear the rooster crow, and you can still say shenos l'zecharina, so you can say Hamapil, even though you don't necessarily fall asleep, and it's not a problem of a bracha levatala. If that's the case, then l'chari, there's no reason not to speak between Hamapil and going to sleep. So the whole tzir for the Mishnah Berurah l'chari wouldn't be right, according to those Rishonim. There are other reasons. The Gemara says that there are more quotes that the last thing a person should have in his mouth before he goes to sleep should be the words of Kriya Shema, should be the words of Torah, should be something. That's a different story. That's nothing to do with Hamapil. That's a different part. Maybe that's good enough to hear her. Maybe a person doesn't have to. The Gemara says in Brachas then a Talmud Chacham technically doesn't have to say Kriya Shema Lamita because he's been Mahar in Divrei Torah, so that's also good enough. That's a different story. But that chumrah of that you can't talk between a mapa and some and fall asleep is a din of a hefsek brachas. So that's a big chiddush. According to some Rishonim, that lechari cannot possibly be true. Not saying we don't pass like that. We do pass like that, but it's not much according to many Rishonim. Anyway, getting back to the story over here. So where does Birchas Hachama fit into these pictures? Birchas Hachama on the actual seeing of the sun, or Birchas Hachama on the fact that the sun exists in this new place, it's back to its original tekufa. So that warrants a bracha, not because I necessarily see the sun. So that's a big machlek. It's an acharonim. So the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Panim Eros, the Tshuva's Panim Eros, where he says that where does it say you have to see the sun from Birchas Hachama? The Gemara, where does it say? The Gemara says that Rocham betkufasa. Yeah, it doesn't mean Roach Hamad means you personally have to see it. I mean, the sun's there. Right now it's cloudy. It's cloudy in New York. It's cloudy in London. But the sun is shining there in Israel. The sun is shining in Arizona. It's shining in Florida. Sunshine State. So that's okay. Even though you personally didn't see it, it'll be cloudy, raining, it doesn't matter. You can still say Roach Hamad. And the Chassam Sofer disagrees. Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva writes that he doesn't think that it's correct. He says that if you look at the Lashon Rambam, there's not that much to look at. There's one half a line in the Rambam also about it, but the Rambam mentions Roa twice in the Halacha. The Rambam has a Lashon that if a person sees the Chama B'Tkufasa, and then he repeats again also. It's another Lashon. You have a Rambam there? Where is it? Where is it? This Halacha is? Just made it up. Okay. Keshes, Ravana, Rosh Hashanah here. Perik Yud Alach Yud Ches. Haroah Sachama Biyom Tkufas Nisan. The person uses the word Haroah. It's Lashon Gemara. Biyom Tkufas Nisan Shatchilas Hamachso Shal Shmona Ve'esrim Shana. Shatkufa B'tchilas Lel Revi. Kisharoah Osa Biyom Revi. Baboke Mevarach Baruch Osa Bereshit. So the Chassam Sofer has a double deal from the Rambam. The Rambam starts out Haroah Sachama, so he already told you Haroah Sachama. So why does he say again Kisharoah Osa Biyom Revi? He just told you he saw it. So the extra lashon of the Rambam is to be the Rambam is to this idea that you have to mamish see it, because if you don't see it, so you can't make the bracha. That's what the Chassam Sofer thought behind the Rambam, and this is the magic word baboker in Halacha Yud Ches. That's what the Rambam says the word baboker. So this is a big machlekes about it. It's hard to be machriya this shaila, but most of the later achronim assume like the Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer writes that this shaila mabash happened to him. He writes in one of his tshuvas about two Birchas Hachamas that he experienced in his lifetime. So one was the Birchas Hachama of 1785, and the other was the Birchas Hachama of 1813. Those are the two that he refers to in the tshuva. He gives a Hebrew date, but just for us to be able to, unfortunately, we take an English date, so put it into perspective. So what was going on in the world 1785? I asked my kids this. We were talking about this in the Shabbos day. We asked them, what was going on in the world? What do you know was going on in 1785?
America.
What? So my daughter was right on target. She said that was the proof of the Articles of Confederation. She was right. So the Revolutionary War, she just learned about the history. So the American Revolution was over in 17, Cornwallis, what was that? 81, 83 is Machlokes, when the Revolutionary War ended. And I never understood that Machlokes, but there are two versions of when the last shooting was. Anyway, so those days took time for the word to spread. So in the early 1780s, so that's when America, that's when we finished rebelling, otherwise we'd still all be living in England. And 1789 was when the Constitution was put together. So in those couple of years, they tried a different form of government. They put together the Articles of Confederation. You guys learned American history?
Yeah.
So it was a failure. It was a disaster. So in 1785, while the Americans, John Adams and John Hancock were trying to figure out, scratching their heads, trying to figure out how to run a country, so the Chassam Sofer was saying Birchas Hachama was a young man. So the Chassam Sofer, I think, was 22 at that year, if I'm not mistaken. I checked his birthday. Chassam Sofer was born in 1763, so that particular Birchas Hachama, he was 22. So where was he at the age of 22 with Birchas Hachama? So he tells the whole story. He said he was learning with his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler. So he was a Talmud move up of Rav Nosson Adler. He was the Rav of Frankfurt. Okay, he was a fascinating personality in of himself. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was a big Makubo, and he was the Rebbe of the Yekis in Frankfurt. And it wasn't the best Shidduch, as you can tell. So he was a makubal. He said that was inspired, and they were yekis, and there was a lot of problems. But whatever it was, he used to fall kerem like every day, like the Rambam, like the Gemara, the days of the Gemara. They used to fall. They used to say tachem, and they would fall on the floor. So he would fall kerem every day in shul. They didn't like it. A lot of problems. So lemaisa, he ended up not being the rav anymore. So the Chassam Sofer, when he left Frankfurt, so the Chassam Sofer went along with him. So Chassam Sofer was a young boy at the time, and he was a teenager, and he was mishamish, but he stayed with him, I guess, until he got married. So I don't know exactly when he left him. But he stayed for many, many years. His whole youth was learning under Rav Nosson Adler. He was his Rebbe Bucham. So apparently, at that Brech Zacham in 1785, the Chassam Sofer was still together with his Rebbe. And he writes that he remembers standing next to Rav Nosson Adler. He said he was leaning on him. Rav Nosson Adler was an older man. He was leaning on the Chassam Sofer. He writes the whole story. And he said they were standing outside and waiting for the sun, and it was cloudy. I was trying to figure out, I didn't get through the math, whether that was the same Brech Zachava that the Rebbe Yehuda says was cloudy also. The Rebbe Yehuda was in Prague, and this story happened, I don't know, how far is it from Prague? I don't know where this happened in Frankfurt, I don't know exactly what happened, but it could be it was a cloudy day that, in Europe that day. So I have to check the math, whether that was the same Brech Zachava, could be it was. Because the Rebbe Yehuda was also alive at that time. So in 1785, the kid says, the Snav is leaning on the Chassam Sofer, they're waiting for the sun to come out. So he says, and finally, the ball of the sun, you can see a little bit through the clouds. You know, sometimes a cloudy day, you can still see the Masha, you can see the Roshim of the sun, even though it's not Mama shining brightly. So he said, the Rasa Nadar is out of the Bracha, right then and there. As soon as he saw the little ball of the sun, so Shani, he made the Bracha, and that was as if. So Chassam Sofer in 1813, the next Bracha Zakaba, so he writes that Baruch Hashem this year was an easier one than last time, and he says, but I learned from my Rebbe that you have to see the sun. Part of me is not right, you have to see the sun, but you don't have to see the sun the whole kocho, as long as you can make out the sun's there, you can see it through the clouds, so as long as you see the basic ball of the sun, that's good enough. So those are the two chidushim that he says he learned from his Rebbe. You have to see the sun, but you don't have to see it mamish b'chol kocho. Interesting, Baruch Hashem, tidbit of history. If you look at the history, if you look at the years back of all the Brech Zachamas, so it's now, this time, it's always April 8th. So in a couple of years from now, it's going to move to April 9th because the calendar's off a little bit. So the solar, all the calendars, everything's off a little bit. So eventually, the same way December 4th used to be December 3rd, now it becomes December 4th, Tein Talmud, everything catches up eventually. By the time the Shia comes, everything will be back to normal. But so if you look back, let's say 100 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was, say Birch Zachama was April 7th. And then you go back a few years before that, so it was April 6th. And then if you look back in history books, so you see all of a sudden, one Birch Zachama was April 6th, and the one before that was March 26th. So you're scratching your head and trying to figure out what happened. So what happened? Who knows history? That was the year, in the 15, what year was that? 15-something. When the Pope changed the calendar, because they realized the old non-Jewish calendar, the old secular calendar, the Julian calendar, was so off that there were so many days that were getting messed up, that were being lost. So eventually the Pope realized in the 1500s, we have to do something, or else the whole calendar is going to become upside. Baruch HaMatala. So the Pope gave a paskin that there are 10 days that don't exist anymore. So they went from what day? Who knows? It was a mystery. And they went like from March 1st, and they said the first 10 days in March don't exist. So it went from February 28th to March 11th. That's it. If you were born during those days, it didn't exist. They just crossed the rubbish off the calendar. So that's why Birch Zachama is a solar thing. So Birch Zachama is still March 26th, but it's what the Julian calendar was March 26th, which is now we're in a different calendar. So in case anyone was interested as to why Birch Zachama jumped for 10 days in the 1500s, we can only blame whatever, the non-Jewish calendars for that particular piece of information. You go back up. Some collector's items about the strange calendar. So the question is, what does a person do? So he's waiting for Birch Zachama, he's waiting. Oh, nice, that's cloudy. Oh, nice, it's cloudy. You're going to have the Siyad Shemar, now if the sun comes out. So now, Lemaisa, what does he do? So it doesn't look like a very positive weather forecast. Does he have any option whatsoever? So came some poskim and said in Eitzah, maybe you should recite the bracha of Elishem of Malchus. Elishem of Malchus, where does that come from? Knew who learned brachas on us last year? What does it say? Called bracha she'aim b'shem of Malchus, ain't a bracha. The Gemara says, if he doesn't have a shame, doesn't have Malchus, it's not a bracha. Who remembers the right of it? What? Ninth break of the Rambam, what does he say? The Rambam, the ninth break of brachas, and there's notes at the bottom of the riff says, Mamed Devar Mamurim, that a bracha requires Shema Malchus, that's a bracha kavua, like a bracha that you always recite, like a bracha that you're mechuyev to recite. When you have a bracha that just comes along because some event happened, no one told you to make the bracha in the first place. Let's say the Rambam. Arosa Yamagol. A guy sees the Mediterranean, sees the Atlantic, whatever Yamagol is, the Shal and the Boskim. A guy sees the Mediterranean. Nobody told him to go to the Mediterranean. He decided to go to the Mediterranean to see it. Another mechuyev to go to the Mediterranean. So that's a bracha which is ein kavua, not a chova. But the emphasis is the Rambam. You can just say Baruch Shosos Yamagol. That's perfectly okay. You don't have to say the Shem Hashem. You want to say it. Say it. It's not a bracha matala, but you're not mechuyev to. That's where the Rambam. What was the Rambam's raya? Who remembers? The Raya. What was Zimun? That's Brach's and Nine Pech Zimun. The Raya says, Nevorach Shachal Mishalom, Hashem Hashem. The Gemara says the Brach, that's called the Brach. I remember the Sugya, the three Brachs, the four Brachs. Remember, right? Last year. So that's called the Brach. I was the Shem of Malcha, sometimes there's the Kash, another Bishon, give all the Tevrutim. Remember, Shem? Last year brings back memories. So the Raya says, the answer is, you don't need Shem of Malcha, because who told you to eat bread in the first place? Who told you to eat Mizumun? What do you have to have Mizumun in the first place? You're not mechuyev to eat. You have to eat because you're not going to be hungry, but who told you have to eat the Mizumun? So the rabbi has this idea that whatever is not a bracha shel kedius doesn't require shema malcha. So come a group of rachamim and say, if it's cloudy outside, at least say the bracha according to the rabbi. There's no bracha on the Torah, just to say bracha on Semaise Gracious. You could say Baruch Shosni Yamas Gol from day till tomorrow. It's not a bracha of a bracha of a tala. At least according to the rabbi, you'll be marviach something. So here you have to be very careful. If a person wants to go that route, I would not recommend to do that unless it's really, really, really cloudy. That's not going to clear up. Why? Because the Poskim point out, let's say it's 8 o'clock in the morning, the guy's ready for Brichas Chametz, it's cloudy. He says, listen, I don't got time. I got to sell my Chametz. I got to burn my Chametz. I don't have time right now. So I'm going to be out there. He says, Baruch Osamai Sebrachus. 20 minutes later, the sun comes out. What's he got a problem now? He can't make the bracha now. Because according to Rav Rishonim, Hitaka is mechuyev in the bracha. Because Rav Rishonim don't accept that Ravid. But according to the Ravid, to say a bracha now with Shem Malchus would be a bracha levatala. So now he's mamash. Now he's stuck. Now he's mamash in a hole. He's got himself 1 to 28 years. He's got himself a suffix brichas achava. So that's terrible. We don't want to be the suffix brichas achava. So what are you going to do? So Nebuch, he shouldn't have done that in the first place. So therefore the post can say, if you want to follow the Ravid, wait to the last minute. If 2 minutes before Chatzos, and you realize this is not happening, and it's now or never, so at least say Baruch also nice versions. At least let's say without shame or malchus. At least you're chopping around the right, but don't jump the gun. If a guy is not going to have any stuff, he's going to jump the gun at 7 o'clock in the morning and say the Baruch without shame or malchus. If he's lucky and it clears up, he's going to be in a big pickle. He's going to have to go run around to find someone else to say Baruch Sechaba to be mowed to him. So it's better to wait it out a little bit. If it really, really is at the end of the day, at the end of the day, until it's like you, then it's mamish not bad. And then you say Baruch Hashem my separations without shame of malchus. Somebody was ma'orah that maybe we should tell everybody to go to the ocean if it's cloudy, because that way you can say with shame of malchus, you can say Baruch Hashem my separations on the ocean. And if you have in mind, if the Pana B'Iris is right, so you yell to Hishita with the Berzachav also. Okay, possibility. I don't know if anyone's going to run to the ocean on the Erpesa, but whatever. I was thinking maybe we should tell people if it's mamish cloudy, so we should call people up in California. So California's not going to be cloudy. People from Florida, no. Call people. You have 3 hours. 3 hours later, you're in California. So yeah. You'll be the official.
I'll be by the ocean also.
So you'll be the guy. Okay, so you're going to be the guy who, if we get stuck, and your cell phone gets stuck, it's 5 minutes before Chatzos, and we haven't said Birch Chama yet, Chas Shalom. So we'll call you. You'll say Birch Chama over the phone. What do you mean over the phone? So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva. There's machlokes Rav Moshe from Shlomo Zalman. Kiviyotzi brachas over the microphone. So Rav Moshe said, "Yeah, the microphone's okay. Kiviyotzi brachas over the microphone." Shlomo Zalman didn't like it. That's the shaila under the chuppah. No, that's the issue under the chuppah. So some rabbanim are very machlokes not to use the microphone under the chuppah, and some rabbanim aren't so machlokes. You know, shalom bias. You know, we don't get to fight with anybody. I know. I'm smart. I know my customers. So Rav Moshe was making the microphone. So whatever Rav Moshe was making. So Rav Moshe and the tshuva writes that he thinks that, the later tshuva he writes that he thinks the same is true for telephones. That's we don't usually assume that way. We usually assume telephone is really too far removed to be Yosef Shemek on it. But maybe, according to Rav Moshe, maybe it's good. So you have nothing to lose. So 2 minutes till before Chatzos, so we still haven't heard it. So Jeremy will be calling up. We should have a Shira calling number.
Sure.
And he'll say Brichas Chama for everybody over the phone. Okay, good. So hopefully we won't come to that. There is a Shaila whether who exactly is obligating Brichas Chama. Maybe because the Abishai is a women obligated to go to the family. So it's unclear in the Gemara, it's unclear in the Rambam, unclear in the Shulchan, unclear in the Mishnah books. It's not clear anywhere whether women are supposed to be reciting Birkat HaChama or not. So the Chassam Sefer talks about it in that same tshuva. The Chassam Sefer writes in the tshuva that he doesn't have any good reason why women should be pturos from Birkat HaChama. He doesn't think women should be pturos. He thinks they really should be chayavos, but he says he's looking around and he says he remembers as a young boy, 1785, he didn't see any women there. He remembers as the Rebbe Preshburg in 1813 at the age of 22, he was 50 years old in Preshburg, and the next Birkat HaChama, he's looking around, he's hitting women. He says he thinks that the stomach and the vinegar element of the women don't say Birkat HaChama, but he's not exactly sure why. So he says, the stomach, not say Birkat HaChama. He doesn't, he can't pinpoint why that should be the case. So, l'chora, the reason why, I was surprised by the Chassam Sefer. I thought the Chassam was going to say the reason why is for the following, because the Gemara says that women are obligated in Neres Chanukah, Afen Hebi Oso Anes. So the Ikra Din, when we light Neres Chanukah, so you don't have to, not every member of the family has to light. The Ikra Din, Neri Shabeso. But we have a Chumra, the Gemara says, Mahadrin, we try to have each member of the family light. So the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva that the Dinig was that the single girls didn't light. So how come the single girls didn't light? So there are different Melvin about that. Some folks can have the girls light, not whatever, different Melvin. But Chassam Sefer writes that the Dinig, where he came from in Hungary, those single girls didn't light there as Hanukkah. So he writes, why not? Afen Rebbe also makes. So why don't we say Mahadrin and Mahadrin of the single girls also? The married women were Yaitish to Fagufo, the husbands, whatever that means. But why didn't the single girls light in Hungary? So Chassam Sefer writes, he thinks the reason is that since the original takon of Neres Chanukah was to be done outdoors in a public setting, on the chotzer, Pesach chotzer, Pesach Moshe Sarabim, there's so many people tumbling around. So he says, Mestama, the takon was that you don't want, there should be a breach of tznius. So Mestama, that would be considered to be a breach of tznius if everyone's dancing around and lighting Neres Chanukah together. So Mestama, that's why the Chachamim instituted that the single girl should light. So that's what I would have thought he would have said the same thing with Birchas HaChama. But he doesn't say it. He doesn't give a reason why. He just writes, Tzarechiyatach. He doesn't know why the meaning is that the women don't light. Don't say Birchas HaChama. So Taka, what should it then be? Should there be Chayavos or not? So the Chora, the issue is a lot of the Shishayim. It should revolve around the question of, is that called a mitzvah sasasheyas mandrama or not? So is that called mandrama? So l'chora, it should be the same machloikis that the mother of Abraham has with others in Hilchos Kiddush Levana. Are women supposed to say Kiddush Levana or not? So the mother of Abraham writes in Hilchos Rish Chaydish that women are pturos in Kiddush Levana. They're not saying Kiddush Levana. You know why says the mother of Abraham? It's a mitzvah seseh she has man grama. It's only a mitzvah derabana, it's not a mitzvah deraisa. So he shows you from the Gemara that the klal of man grama applies even to mitzvah derabana. He says that the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah and the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, it's only because Afen Hai Bi'os Aneis that women are chayavos. But if not for that reason, so there would have been pituros, because it's a mitzvah essay. Shez man grama. So you see clearly that the klal of man grama applies to the rabbanon also. So the Magen Avraham says, L'chara, Kiddush Levana should be as man grama as well. So other acharonim question that Magen Avraham said, oh, that's not called man grama. Why is that zman grama? Because you can only say Kiddush Levana for the first 15 days of the month. That's not a halachic zman. That's an astronomical time. That's a physical time. That's not a halachic time. Zman grama means the first day of Sukkot. Zman grama means Yom versus Laila. Zman grama means it's a mitzvah that you only do on Rosh Hashanah. That's called zman grama. A mitzvah that's limited by an astronomical time, that's not called zman grama. The Shagasai writes like that. Through Yevon and Megillah Dafkav, the Shagasai writes that women are chayavos in Bikurim. You can only bring Bikurim, Bikurim says women have to bring Bikurim. You only bring Bikurim a certain time of the year. You don't bring it after Hanukkah. In the middle of the winter, you don't bring Bikurim. So he says that's because it's not the agricultural time of Bikurim. Even if you happen to have a couple of fruit that's still around, the Torah says, it's got to be the time when people normally have fruit out of the fields. In the middle of January, there's no fruit out of the fields anymore. So says the Torah, yeah, but that's called Zman Grub. Zman Grub means when it's a halachic Zman. That would have just been Tzias Zman. So l'chora, the Shagasai would disagree with the Magen Avraham. According to Shagasai, women l'chora should be chayavos in Kiddush Levana. So in Hilchos Kiddush Levana, there's a medrash that's quoted, a Zohar medrash that says that women don't say Kiddush Levana for other reasons. A pikabol with a levana and stories, but again, not in terms of pure halacha. So again, it's machlokes aposkim. Bottom line, are women chayavos in Kiddush Levana or women pturos in Kiddush Levana? So l'chora, it's the same shayla here also. If you hold a Kiddush Levana Zman Grama, this is also Zman Grama, it's once every 28 years, that's a pretty big Zman Grama. And the other post would say, that has nothing to do with Zman, that has to do with the astronomy of the sun, that's to do with the cycle of the sun. It's not a halachic time, there's no halachic significance to once every 28 years, it's an astronomical significance. That doesn't qualify as Zman Grama. So the Chor, if you'd ask me, I'd say it's the Machlekes, the same Machlekes in Kiddush Levanim, the Machlekes in Magen Avraham, the Chacham Shlomo, the same Machlekes in terms of Brichas Achava. So should we encourage women to say Brichas Achava or not? So according to those folks who say the Pturos, would that be encouraging a Bracha Levatala? So the Chor, that will depend on Machlekes, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam. Do we encourage women, do we permit women to recite Brachas if they have Pturos from? So the Rambam Shita is that if a woman recites a bracha leisha basuka, that's a bracha levatala. She recites alafilas lulav, that's a bracha levatala. But that's how the Shulchan Aruch passed. That's how the Sfardim follow. But the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, who quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that a woman can volunteer to recite a bracha even if she's pure from it. That's not a bracha levatala. So our wives do it all the time. They recite leisha basuka, they recite alafilas lulav. So we have no problem with women volunteering to recite brachas that they're pure from. So the Chor, according to standard Ashkenazi practice, either women are chayavos of brachas achama, or the pturos of brachas achama. I don't know the answer to that question, but even if they're pturos, as well, it's a big deal. Let them volunteer to recite the bracha. So some acharonim said that a woman can only volunteer to recite a bracha when there's a ma'is ha-mitzvah involved, like shaking a lulav, like sitting in the sukkah. But when the whole bracha is the mitzvah itself, they can't volunteer to do that. But we're not doing that way. Our women recite brachas kriya shema in the morning. Women are pturos of brachas kriya shema for sure. It's a mitzvah cessation as man grama. So, according to those Achronim, how can women say Brichas Kriya Shema? Everybody knows all women say Brichas Kriya Shema. In the Sephardic schools, they don't say Brichas Kriya Shema, the girls. In the Sephardic schools, they say Baruch Atta Yotzor Brichas. They don't say Shem Hashem when the girls daven. I mean, the Brichas Kriya Shema. But the Ashkenazi schools, all the Beis Yaakov, all the girls say Brichas Kriya Shema B'Shem Malchus. So why is that? Because we pass in that Ashkenazi women are allowed to volunteer to recite Brichas. So they're allowed to volunteer to recite Brichas Kriya Shema. Technically speaking, there would be a lot of volunteer Kiddush Levanim, not for those reasons that being Nistar. But why can't they volunteer? They say, Brichas Achava. So, Lefi Ani either women are Chayavos or the Pturos. And even if the Pturos, the Ashkenazim are a lot of volunteers. So, those women who want to say Brichas Achava, obviously in the Tzanua setting, we don't want to have breaches of Tzanua anything. But in the Tzanua setting, if a girl wants to go out and say Brichas Achava, so either she's Chayavos or even she's Pturos. So, there's nothing wrong with Lefi Ani's idea of a volunteer to say Brichas Achava. The poskim say that we're supposed to say Brichas Achava Barovam Hadras Melech. We want to have as many people. We want to have a nice mefursam because he the mitzvah of Barovam Hadras Melech. So you always have a shaila when you have a clash between Zerizim and Gimel the mitzvah and Barovam Hadras Melech. So let's say I finish davening. I want to go out and say Brichas Achava by myself right away, first thing in the morning. So should I wait for half an hour until everybody else gathers together? So we assume we should wait. That's the minig is here. We try to make these even in the past generations they made these public Brichas Achavas. Like the famous Brichas Achava of what year? 1897, except they forgot to get permits for the park. But otherwise, the idea was a noble idea. Everyone read the story of the park? Pretty fascinating story, huh? Pretty impressive. So we tried, the minig has been for Darius to try to have public Brichas Achava as much as possible. But you have a public Brichas Achava, so then technically speaking, Barovam Hadras Melech is a great ikiyum for one person to make the bracha to be mostly everybody else. The only problem is if you have a very big public Brichas Achava, you're not going to hear the bracha. So we don't want to use microphones, you know, get involved with microphones once every 28 years to make a bracha without a microphone. So I don't know, I'm not sure what they're going to do. So I think the one in Tinex could be without one person making the bracha. I think everyone's going to be a free for all, everyone's going to make their own. That's what I understand. But we'll see what happens by next Wednesday. Everyone's going to be around then? Who's going to be Tinex? What time is it called for? 8:30? I think it's 8:30 in Belty Park? I think so. We wanted to try to get someone to sponsor a Sea of Bacharis also, but we couldn't get any sponsors. Yeah. It's not like also a shtickle robot. It's not as robot. Better than a robot. Than one person. But what are you going to do? If you have 5,000 people, it's not practical.
Which one goes first? The Sea of Bacharis or the...
So I said to somebody, how do you have a right to eat before Birch Zachama? It's a mitzvah. You have to... So somebody said the whole reason why you're not allowed to eat is because you're going to forget. Who's going to forget? Say Brichas Achava again. 10,000 people getting every day for the last 6 months for other stuff over the place remind you to say Brichas Achava. I have to get to Dach at the boot. So it's not what you want to do. You forget, so you remember next time. Okay. Anyway, what's important, a lot of important things about Brichas Achava. One important thing about Brichas Achava is something we spoke about in the past that, you know, especially this year, in Pesach, there's such a to-do about the Nisim, and Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf, which is wonderful, but sometimes at the expense of remembering the daily wonderful things that happen in our lives. So Brichas Achava is a good wake-up call to this. Brichas Achava You look at the sun, my kids are expecting the sun's going to look totally different. They think the sun's going to rise in the west, and it's going to blow up, it's going to be nuclear. Their mom is so psyched up for this event, and I don't want them to be disappointed. I said, it's going to look the exact same as any other day, and yet you make a Zat Tataram, Osamai Sabratius. So the emphasis is that we should make that Osamai Sabratius every day. We should be as excited to see the sunrise. Imagine what the sun, the unbelievable Chochmas HaBoyre, how many hydrogen bombs is every second in the sun? What is it? 10 what? Some number, no? Like every second of the sun is like an explosion of 10 million hydrogen bombs all at the same time, something like, lo yuman ki supar, the Koch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creation of just one thing. The sun is only one of billions and billions of stars, and it's not even the biggest, it's one of the smaller end. That should be mechayev us to look at the bria, to open up our eyes. That's the real lesson we're supposed to walk away from this Chabad. It's also an important time to reflect a little bit about that life. And we say that Rosh Chodesh is a time of tshuva. Why is Rosh Chodesh a time of tshuva? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu built into the system that we need different milestones in our life. Be able to reflect. So the problem is some people, they go through life, they don't think about anything, they don't think where they're coming, where they're going, they're just one long ride. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the system, you have once a week. So if Shabbos gives you time to reflect a little bit, think, what did I accomplish this week? What could perhaps be different next week? You have Rosh Chodesh, so it's a time to, it's a new month, it's a new beginning. Rosh Hashanah comes, so it's a bang, it's a new year. So every year, there are different times in a person's life where he's able to make a din v'chashbon, able to see what has he accomplished, what is he going to accomplish, what are his goals. To the next milestone. The Brit Zacham is a unique opportunity, so nobody here, except that brother, I think I myself, I don't think anyone else is here. There's Brit Zacham, right? Not that I know. Okay. So, it gives you a time to make a din v'chesh and think, wow, what did I accomplish in the last 28 years? What didn't I accomplish in the last 28 years? What more can I accomplish? I don't mean a din v'chesh to make you depressed. A din v'chesh to encourage you to do more. To make a person feel like, wow, Baruch Hashem, look at the Chasdei Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon. Where was I? 28 years ago, you can read it out in the Bergen Rechem, but 28 years ago, so I was standing by the ocean, by Orchard Beach, I was 15 years old. So Baruch Hashem, a person has a Chasdei Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you such wonderful Chasadim in 28 years. Gives you Talmidim, gives you a family, gives you children, a wife, man. It's such unbelievable, gives you help, gives you life. For 28 years, it's such a gewaltig opportunity to express the Karas HaTov through Baruch Shalom. Hope and pray that you'll live to the next Birkas HaChama. So, age is 71. So, anyone wants to send your sons to me in 28 years from now, maybe they'll want to be in the Shia. So, only after that, it's Shem 99. Okay, Avraham Avinu was still going strong at 99. He was only halfway through his career at 99. So, okay. So, we have to Shem. We should be zochah to many, many happy and healthy Birkas HaChamas. But it's a time to reflect. It's a time to take a step back. And to now, Baruch Hashem, you're young, and your mom is at the time of your life where you're... You're literally, on the threshold of life. Your mom should, the mom should, the very, very beginnings of life. So you should set goals now. You should have last Birkas HaChama. So it was a Rebbe in Yeshiva in my high school. So we made a Siyam HaShas at the Birkas HaChama. Why do you make a Siyam HaShas? The night before Birkas HaChama, we had a Siyam in Yeshiva. We had a whole Mishmah that night. So why did he make a Siyam? He said, because he remembers as a young boy, 28 years before, he had this brilliant idea that he's going to finish Shas by the next Birkas HaChama. Not that young. He's going to learn, he's going to learn, as best he can, 28 years. So he set it as a goal as a teenager, and he said it was Mekuyim. It was Mamish Mekuyim. He was able to be Zohar to finish Shas in 28 years. So I met this Rebbe a couple of days ago. I hadn't seen him in a while. I happened just to meet him, and I said to him, it's so funny, I'm speaking about you, because as Birkas HaChama comes along, so I remember that Siyam. So he said to me, yeah, he said he always thinks of Birkas HaChama as a different stage in his life. He said he remembers the first Birkas HaChama as a young boy. Then we had such exciting goals and dreams of him. Then he remembers the last Birkas HaChama. He was a Rebbe Yeshiva. He said now he's retired already. Now he says mi yodeh meyelid yom. Dor halech v'dor bam. He said that's Birkas HaChama. Mi yodeh. So it's a time to sit back and to reflect and to try to put life into perspective. So those are the two important divrei Musa Haskel, that to appreciate the Chasdei Hashem in this world, and to be able to give a little bit of cheshbon in terms of our own life and our existence and our hopes and aspirations to accomplish things in this world. So tomorrow, Mitzvah, Pesach Shirim.